Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, isn't it lovely to have a long bank holiday weekend this weekend? Yes. Praise God. I think it's very kind of the Queen to have a jubilee and give us 2 extra days off work. Who's grateful for the Queen? I'm grateful for the Queen. I actually think it's great how our attitude as a nation has changed towards the monarchy in the last few years. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's been a definite improvement. We're definitely more positive about the royal family. And that is really good. The Bible says to pray and give thanks for kings and all who are in authority. Pray for them. Don't slate them. Bless them. Thank God for them. That we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. And you know, if we will bless those in authority, not just the Queen or the government, but parents, teachers, your boss at work, the police, you know, any level of authority that's over your life, if you will pray, bless them, thank God for them, it has a boomerang effect. Actually, the blessing comes back on you, which is a good thing, isn't it? Now, that's just an intro, really, about what I want to speak to you about this morning. The title of my message, if I can have the first slide, is Rejoice, Pray, and Give Thanks. Does that sound good? Say to the person next to you, you're going to enjoy this. Okay, turn, if you would, please, to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. I'm in faith every one of us is going to hear from God this morning and go away different, which is always his plan when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to read from verse 16. You probably know where I'm going with this. And it says, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Raise your hand if you like a challenge. Probably about half of you. Some of you are not too sure whether you do or not. To our natural mind, this looks impossible, doesn't it? You kind of look at this and you think, how on earth am I going to do that? Well, for natural man without God, this is impossible. But if you're born again this morning, you're not a natural person. You actually have the Spirit of God who enables you to do things that you find impossible. God always gives us grace to do what he asks us to do. And you know, people get caught up with wanting to know the will of God for their lives. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the kind of, should I be a doctor or a teacher or a hairdresser or, should I do this? Shall I go there? But I believe if we actually do this, it says here, the will of God is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks. In doing that, he actually leads you into his will. Yeah, it's very clear, isn't it? If we could have the next slide. The will of God for you and me, or for us, is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Now, if you notice in all three of those verses, every single one of those things are meant to be done continuously, without a break, you know, just to keep going on continuously. They're not meant to be reserved just for a crisis in your life or for a victory in your life, kind of the best or the worst times. It should be our lifestyle. This is what we should be doing in the good times and the bad times, when people are looking and when no one's looking. And we really need to develop these three things as habits. A habit, something we do without even thinking about it. It's like a reflex. People swear without thinking about it. Have you noticed that? They've said, you know, those words so many times, they've developed a habit and it kind of pops out of their mouth before they've even thought about it. At home, David and I have got a few hinges on our windows that need fixing. And we had somebody around to have a look at them last week as I was preparing the message, actually. In this hot weather, it's like, gosh, you know, we really need to be able to open the windows. And as soon as he walked through the door, he swore. It was hot and that was making him swear even more. And I just thought that is a habit. He's developed that habit. He doesn't even think, he's probably even not aware. If you were to say to him, do you know what? You just bleep bleep. He probably wouldn't even realize. And so a habit, if we could have the next slide, a habit is a way of behaving that's established through repeated action. You and I have habits in our lives already. Some good, some not so good. But they've been established because you kept on doing them. And if we're going to create a habit of doing these things, we need to do them several times a day, many times a day, so that we establish a way of behaving. We do things out of habit because we've trained ourselves. Now, currently, you may be in the habit of doing the opposite. I want to ask you a question, if we could have the next slide, and that is this you? Miserable, always. Anxious, without ceasing, and in everything, complaining. It can be a temptation for all of us at times to be like that, but frankly, you know, it's not a great way to live. You kind of get a permanent frown. And if that is you, it's time for a change. You know, the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different result. We cannot keep on doing the opposite of what God says and then pray for him to bless us. It just doesn't work like that. He says, you do what I say, create a habit out of it, and then, you know, you won't be able to stop the blessing. Okay, so the will of God, if we could go back to the next slide, Joy, please. The will of God, in case you haven't got it yet, the will of God for us is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I'm going to start with the first one, rejoicing always. There's a verse in Psalm 119 that says, 7 times a day I will praise you because of your righteous judgments. Now, when I was at Bible college, I had a friend who read that verse and decided that he wanted to see that worked out in his life. So what he did was he set his watch to bleep 7 times a day. And every time his watch bleeped, he'd praise the Lord. Okay? Now, you might say that's a bit legalistic, but I actually reckon God loved that because he was trying to develop a habit of praising God. And do you know what? He did it. He developed a habit of praising God to the point where he didn't need his watch anymore. It became instinctive for him to praise God. He developed that habit, and so several times throughout the day, his mind would turn to the Lord, and it would cause him to praise. Do you understand what I'm saying? The result was, actually, he became a really happy bloke. It didn't matter what he was doing. He could have been up to his eyes in dirty dishes on kitchen duty, but he'd be whistling away, cracking jokes. Actually, doing this changed his personality. From being a kind of glasses half empty person to being a glasses half full, from always kind of looking and seeing the negative, praise enabled him to home in on the positive. Okay? Now, you may think this is stating the obvious, but I'm going to do it anyway. If we can have the next slide, please, Joy. To rejoice means to express joy. Now, I know, you know, it's hard to express joy if you don't feel like it, isn't it? You know, if things are tough, you've had a bad day, or even if your circumstances are fine, but for some reason you just feel a bit down in the dumps, it's hard to express joy. We think if we don't feel it, we don't have it. That's the mistake we make as Christians. Because as Christians, the joy of God is in your spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. So even if you don't feel joyful in your emotions, if you will make a choice to draw out of your spirit and start to praise, like turning a tap on, it might start with a trickle, but if you just by that act of the will make the choice, it will start to flow. And actually, the more you praise yourself happy. You can change the way you feel. Next slide, Joy. Praising God then. There's Mr. Happy. Praising God changes how you feel. Think about that. Praising God changes how you feel. So when you least feel like praising God is when you most need to praise God. When you feel like you've got a black cloud hanging over you, you need to give what the Bible calls a sacrifice of praise. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to look at verse 15. Okay, Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, therefore, by him, that's Jesus, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you notice it says praise is the fruit of our lips? Praise is not a silent thing. Have you ever met a Christian who says to you, well, I'm praising God in my heart, dear? Yeah? I've met people like that. And I'm sure the Lord looks down from heaven and says, I can't hear you. You say you're praising, I can't hear you. It needs to actually come out of your mouth. Isaiah 6 says, when heaven praises, the doorposts are shaken. There's some volume to praise, and that's the way God intends it to be. You need to let it out of your mouth. Praise needs to have a bit of volume. And I think all of us perhaps need to turn that volume up. The world and your circumstances speak at a very high volume. And we need to praise God even more. Our praise needs to be even louder. And so we need to submit our body and our soul. They're the things that stand in the way. Your will. And so by an act of will, you start to praise. But as you do that, what happens is, if you'll keep going, there comes a point where there's a shift. I know you start off, you can still be feeling lousy, you know? Your head can still be full of the wrong thing. But if you will purposefully fix your thoughts on Jesus, start to think about Jesus, start to think about the good things that he's done for you, the benefits that he's given you, you're not going to hell anymore, you know? His grace is sufficient for you. His wisdom is available to you. His strength is available to you. Now, as you start to think about these things, as you focus on the good, there comes this shift. I kind of call it the point of lift, where it's no longer a sacrifice. You actually, instead of it, you know, being something that's costing you, you realize it's something you really want to do. And you realize you're benefiting from praising. Do you know what I mean? Who's experienced that switch point? Okay, most of us. And we need to do that more and more and more. As you focus on the goodness and greatness of God, that cloud disappears and you become alive to God. You become aware of his presence and convinced of his power to sort things out in your life. So you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You will do. I'm sure a lot of you do, but those of you who are newer Christians, you know, start this now. Get into this habit now of praising God, because it will make all the difference to your relationship with Jesus and the rest of your life, actually. So it starts off as a sacrifice we give, but it ends up being a blessing we receive. Okay, next slide, Joy. Sacrifice means to give something up. Okay, so we need to give up our moodiness, our negativity, our disappointment. Things happen in life, don't they? Maybe we need to give up unforgiveness. These negative things that weigh our hearts down, you give them up and actually do the opposite of what you feel. Start thinking about Jesus. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. And Psalm 22 verse 3 says, God comes to inhabit our praises. Actually, what you do by praising is you draw God into your life and into your circumstances. It's not drawing God. God is there. It's drawing the power of God and the release of his power. Do you understand what I mean? It's inviting the rule of God to reorder your circumstances and actually reorder your soul. Praise is powerful. I can't stress that enough this morning. There's many people actually get healed in worship. And why do you think that is? Because they've got their eyes off themselves. They've actually started to look at God and give to him. And then they find afterwards the pain's gone. Mysteriously, the ache's gone, the stiffness is gone. It's because they've given to God a sacrifice of praise. And he's blessed them in the process. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Okay, Jeremiah 31 and verse 14. bit of an unusual scripture, but it says, I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. Now, Revelation, Book of Revelation 1:6 says, we've been called to be priests and kings to our God. Like the priests in the Old Testament, as believers, our job is to serve like priests. Now, the priests in the Old Testament serve God with animal sacrifices. You know, because Jesus hadn't come and that was the way they atoned for their sin. Praise God, we don't need to do that on a Sunday morning. I mean, it would be kind of messy in here. We are called to serve God with sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And as we minister to him, he promises, I will bless the souls of my priests. All those who minister to God, God will bless your soul. So instead of being empty, if you praise God and give a sacrifice of praise, not just on a Sunday morning, but wherever you are, in your home, in your workplace, in your car, driving to work, if you'll give that sacrifice of praise, God will bless the soul of his priest. Is that good? Okay, so, and in that place, you know, your perspective changes, doesn't it? The giants shrink. Those things that seem bigger and more dominating than God actually start to shrink. I know in my life, if my problems or issues or stuff that's playing on my mind, if ever that gets bigger than God, it's an indication to me I need to praise God, because I need to see those things shrink in my perspective. The problems may not change instantly, but what does is my perspective, and that makes all the difference. Okay? Next slide, please, Joy. Praise defeats the enemy. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Is this helpful this morning? Good. Okay, it helps me to think of these scriptures. 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to read quite a bit of scripture now. I know it's a little bit warm, but I just want to encourage you to stay with it, because if you'll stay focused, you'll get something out of this morning. Okay, 2 Chronicles 20, we're going to start with verse 1, okay? It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and the others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king at that time. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hezan Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. In our lives, stuff comes against us. We get anxious about things that we know are coming against us. We need to be like Jehoshaphat for those negative situations to cause us to seek the Lord. Not to kind of go to our friends and speak anxious thoughts, but to go to God and say, God, this is a situation, help. Okay? Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Go down to verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of the son of, okay? There he is, the Spirit of God is upon him. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping him. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Please note. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he'd consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." The singers went before the army. The singers were the front ones. Okay? Verse 22, "Now when they began to sing and praise," look at this, "the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Okay, right, let's bring this now into modern day 2012 context. As Jehoshaphat and his people went out against the enemy, as you do and I do in our lives, there's opposition against us. But if we will go out praising the Lord sets ambushes against the enemy. I love that. So they get confused and they kill each other. That's effectively what happened. They kind of didn't recognize one another. I mean, it would have been mayhem out there. But that's what happens. Praise, I believe, confuses the enemy. He kind of loses his orientation. So when we praise God, warfare is waged against your enemy. Enemies of fear, enemies of doubt, enemies of sickness, depression, lack, whatever it may be, praise defeats the enemy. And praise actually releases the power of God to win in that situation. So in the face of challenge, we're to praise God. The temptation is in challenge, we stop praising. And actually, it's the exact time when we need to up our praises. Okay, so if you need the enemy to flee from your life, you need to praise your pathway to victory. After David was diagnosed with this life-threatening illness back in March, I took him into the hospital. And I came home, and I can remember walking into the house, walking into the lounge, and I felt tired, and I felt anxious, actually. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, you know. I sat down on the sofa, and I just heard the Lord very clearly say, "Praise me. Praise me." And I have to be honest, I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't really want to do it, but I stood and I thought, right, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I lifted my hands, I closed my eyes, lifted my hands, and I sang two praise songs. I can't remember what they were now, two praise songs. And then I sang in the spirit, and then I just started to declare God's goodness. Anything I could think of. "Jesus, you are Lord. Lord, you're faithful. God, you are true. You're good. Your mercy endures forever. You're kind. You're loving towards all you have made. You're the healer. You're mighty to save." And the more I kind of prayed these things out, the more things came to me. It was just by the Spirit, drawing out of my spirit, it then came out of my mouth. Do you know what I mean? And I believe God moved in response to that. I know not just my prayer. I know there were many people praying. But God moved in response to that. And defeated the enemy of sickness and changed me in the process. That was the kind of added extra. It ministered to my soul. Through that praise, I had such an awareness and conviction, God is with me. Like Joshua, God is with me. Therefore, I will be strong and very courageous. Praise defeats the enemy. And if we could have the next one, Joy, praise will transform us. changes the way you think. It changes the way you feel. It changes the way you see things. All three of these commands, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, they're all, basically, God intends to get something to us. If we could have the next slide. God's motive behind it is not to get something from us, but to get something to us. He commands you to rejoice. Why? Because he wants to get something to you. He commands you to give thanks. Why? He wants to get something to you. God is good. He's a good father. He wants to do us good. But we need to learn and cooperate with him. I've written down here, if the devil can keep us limited to what we feel like doing, he'll steal our joy. Steal lots of things, actually, but joy definitely he will steal. I'm just going to say that again. If the devil can keep you limited to what you feel like doing, he will steal your joy. God says, praise me when you feel low. Praise me when you feel great. At all times, in all circumstances, praise me. Rejoice always. It's the key to getting happy, and actually it's the key to staying happy. Okay, moving on to the next verse quickly. If we could have the next slide, please, Joy, is pray without ceasing. Now, I'm not going to say too much about that now, because I know we're a praying church. But as with all three of these commands, the Lord's telling us to do it constantly. Don't have a good spurt of prayer and then kind of give it a miss for a few days. Be consistent in your prayer life. God's with you always. You know, wherever you go, he's with you. So don't ignore him. Just get into the habit of talking to him all the time. If you feel yourself getting frustrated, pray. If you feel yourself getting anxious about something or about something you see going on in somebody else's life, pray. If you don't know what to do, pray. If you don't know what to say, pray. Pray without ceasing. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I think, you know, there's times where it depends on your disposition, I suppose. Some people are too proud to pray. They like to kind of handle it on their own. And, you know, they get all, I can manage this, God, it's all right. I'll take care of this. Other people, they just think, well, you know, I don't want to bother God. This is too small a thing. I don't want to kind of bother God with this. God wants to be bothered. You know, he says, ask me, you know, ask me for stuff. If you don't ask, you don't get, James said, basically. And he wants to help us accomplish stuff that we can't do on our own. Okay, next verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I really want to major on this. Give thanks. Praise changes us. Thanksgiving changes us. Thanksgiving will change your life. Without thanksgiving, we end up pretty miserable, I have to be honest. And I say this from experience. I know if I'm ungrateful, if the attitude of my heart is ungrateful, I'm normally pretty miserable. And we get poor as well. Naturally speaking, human beings have a tendency to take things for granted. Have you noticed that? I know I can, and I'm sure you can. We live in a blessed country. Let me just put, you know, this kind of big picture to you. We live in a blessed country. We have plenty of clean water. We have good food and clothes to wear. You know, we have freedom. Freedom of speech. You're free to go wherever you want this afternoon. We live in a secure country. We're safe. And we forget there are millions of people around the world that don't have what we have. You know, we complain about having to walk around a supermarket. They have to walk for miles just to get water in the heat. We are blessed, and let's not forget that. You know, we get focused on what we don't have. And we get focused on what isn't working perfectly in our lives. And actually ignore the multiple blessings that we experience every day of our lives. We have every reason to be thankful. I am guilty of being ungrateful. And, you know, I'm sure if you're honest, you'll admit the same. We get so, our thinking gets so narrow and so focused on the small things, we miss the big picture, don't we? So lack of thanksgiving can make us miserable. And also, it develops a poor me attitude. Have you noticed that? That poor me attitude opens the door to the enemy. And actually, it never solves any problems. It just creates a breeding ground for more. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know you do. Just a bit of testimony, really. It's kind of a small thing, but it hopefully explains what I'm talking about. Friday, praise God for the ambulance service. Friday is normally my day off, and normally the day when I clean the house. If I'm going to be really honest with you now, if I'm not careful, I can wake up on a Friday morning, and before I've even got out of bed, I feel cheesed off. Do you know what I mean? I know what I've got to do. I see the list looming before me, and I'm feeling a little bit agitated. And praise God, I heard quite a while ago now, I heard the Lord say to me, you can either clean the house happy or you can clean the house miserable. Isn't that how it is? You're going to have to do it. So you might, you know, you can do it happy or you can do it miserable. And when you see it as clearly as that, you'd have to be pretty stupid to choose a miserable route, wouldn't you? So, of course, I choose the happy route. And I put this into practice this Friday. And the Lord, you know, back when he said that to me, when, you know, he said, you need to start giving thanks on a Friday morning. Start giving thanks. So I did. I thank God we have this house. There are 3 stories, 2 flights of stairs. But I thank you, Lord, that we had the money to do a loft conversion, even though I've got a Hoover, 2 flights of stairs, and the Hoover's really heavy. Thank you, Lord, that we had the money to do it. Thank you, Lord, I've got clean sheets to put on the bed. Thank you, I've got a washing machine, and I don't have to wash everything by hand. Thank you, Lord, you know, for whatever. I thank my way to feeling blessed. And that's the key. Because, you know, we've all got chores we have to do in life. We all have to work. You know, we all have to do certain things. You can do them happy or you can do them miserable. And I recommend to you this morning, give thanks. Start giving thanks for the things that you have in your life. Stop seeing them as something to hinder you and get in your way. See them as a blessing. Thanking God then, if we could have the next slide, please, Joy. Thanking God actually leads us into praise. I find sometimes, I have to be honest, starting to rejoice straight off can be hard. But if you'll start to give thanks, actually count your blessings, it will lead you into praise. Yes? You know what I mean. Now, in the same way that we take natural provision for granted, we can take spiritual provision for granted. I've written something down here that I really want you to get. If we could have it on the screen, please, Joy. If we refuse to thank God for his benefits, we will never experience them. Let me say that again. Or make it personal. If you refuse to thank God for his benefits in your life, you will never experience them. They will remain as a theory in your head, and you will not experience the reality of them. Okay? Thanking gets your faith working. Have you noticed that? When you start to give thanks that you have the grace of God to do what you've got to do in a day, it starts your faith operating. Your faith can lie dormant, but if you start thanking God, it gets your faith working. And so if we could have the next slide. No thanks means no faith and no experience then of God's goodness. But of course, the opposite is true. Next slide. If we will give thanks, it will release faith and we'll actually start to experience the benefit of God's provision in our lives. Turn to Psalm 103. Not too much longer, but I'm really believing that you're getting something out of this morning. And actually, it's a reminder to all of us to increase our praise levels and our levels of thanksgiving. So Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You and I need to start every day reminding ourselves of God's benefits. Yeah? Call them to mind. Thank you, Lord, I have the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, I have your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, I have your peace, which surpasses understanding. Thank you, Lord, you give me grace to do X, Y, and Z today. Okay, and faith starts to rise. We start to actually experience the benefit of having Christ in us. Think of it like this. Next slide, please. Thanksgiving releases faith, and faith releases grace. So if you personally want to experience the grace of God, God's intervention, start giving thanks. Remember this in the middle of next week when you're up against a challenging thing. Start to give thanks, and it will release the grace of God into the situation. Remember, God doesn't tell us to give thanks to get something from us, but to get something to us. Say that to the person next to you. Can you remember it? God doesn't tell us to give thanks to get something from us, but to get something to us. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and verse 4. I just want to expose a tactic of the enemy actually here. If I could just find Romans, that would be really helpful. Bear with me. Okay, Romans 4:4. Okay, says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. Absolutely. When you work, do you see your wages as grace? No. You see it as what's owed to you. You've earned it, haven't you? It's not grace, it's what you've earned. Now, we can have that same works mentality in our relationship with the Lord. Lord, I've got up early to pray every morning this week. I've read the word every day. I've given thanks. I've given financially. You run off the list. And then we look to God expecting to receive because we think we've earned it. But if you think you earn blessing from God, you won't be thankful. Can you go with me on this, right? You'll develop a self-righteous attitude like the Pharisees. I'm blessed because I've earned it. And Galatians clearly says how wrong that is. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that you're now being made perfect by the flesh? We can't please God by our works. Ephesians is very clear. We please God by our faith. We can never earn blessing from God. It comes to us by grace. Everything we receive from God, we receive by grace through faith. If we could have the next slide, Joy. Okay, maybe the one after that then. We receive from God not because we are good, but because he is good. That's a foundational way of thinking that you need to have in your head and in your heart. We receive from God. I remember seeing a cartoon once of Dennis the Menace. Do you remember Dennis the Menace and Nasha? Okay? Dennis the Menace and Nasha were walking along with a cookie, eating a cookie. And the caption was, we don't get cookies from Mrs. Wilson because we are good. We get cookies from Mrs. Wilson because she is good. And I thought, that is the grace of God in a nutshell. We don't get stuff from God because we are good. We get stuff from God because he is good. Okay? And therefore, everything we receive from God, we've got every reason to be thankful. Okay? Have you noticed if you're not thankful, you get resentful pretty quickly? Doesn't take too long, does it? From, you know, things you do to serve the Lord to, I've written down here, paying for parking. I, if I'm not careful, can resent paying for parking. Particularly when you go places like Bristol, Princess Hay in Exeter as well. I mean, it's extortionate. And I can get a little bit agitated about that. And the Lord picked me up on this one day. And I thought, do you know what? I need to give thanks that I can drive. Some people can't drive. I should give thanks that I have to pay for park. I've got a car that I can park and pay for, you know, but be grateful. Don't allow that kind of little niggle to grow. Just stamp it out quickly. Okay, really, we're nearly finished. You're in Romans. Go to chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, this is serious stuff here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I want to put it to you like this morning. If you refuse to give thanks, you will get futile thoughts. And you will get a darkened, foolish heart. If we could have the next slides, Joy. God, deliver us from that. Deliver us from futile thoughts and a darkened heart. Futile means purposeless. If we are unthankful, refuse to give God thanks, I want to put it to you, you will lose purpose. If you are unthankful, you'll lose motivation. Life just gets a bit mundane. And if we lose sight of our purpose, we start making wrong choices. Choices outside the will of God for our lives. And very quickly, we get into a cycle of sin and death and go down. And it all started with lack of thanksgiving. Lack of thanksgiving leads to futile thoughts. It also says lack of thanksgiving leads to a darkened heart. What does that mean? A darkened heart is unable to perceive spiritual reality. It's kind of a bit numb. God seems a million miles away. A darkened heart struggles to hear the voice of God. And a darkened heart is unmoved by the will of God. So I want to put it to you, if you are unthankful, you will lose sensitivity to God. If we could have the next two slides, I think, Joy. I've just got arrows there. Futile thoughts leads to losing purpose, and a dark and foolish heart. You will lose sensitivity to God. To put it absolutely simply, if we refuse to give thanks, it opens the door to the enemy. And I think often we can see thanksgiving as a bit of a side issue. Not that important, not as important as some other things. But actually, thanksgiving is a central issue because thanksgiving sorts your heart out. Yeah. And out of your heart flow the issues of life. Okay, back to the main scripture. Then the will of God for us is, next slide, please, Joy, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. There's so much to say about all three of these. They're all major topics, actually, because they're keys to experiencing the power of God in our lives. But I've written 3 points, the main benefits of rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And if we could have those on the screen, Joy. First of all, if we will rejoice, pray, and give thanks, we'll draw the presence of the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. We enter into his presence. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. You enter into the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving. Number 2, you defeat the strategies of the enemy. Remember Jehoshaphat, the Lord set ambushes. And Psalm 149 verse 8 says, God binds the kings with fetters of iron. When we praise, the Lord deals with the enemy. Okay? And finally, praise and thanksgiving change me. Praise and thanksgiving change you. They transform you from the inside out. God will actually bless your soul. In his presence is fullness of joy. And so if the way into his presence is praise and thanksgiving, let's do that a lot. Okay? No wonder God is telling us to do them constantly. We need all three to become a lifestyle. Just as often as you look at your watch or look at your phone, you need to be doing this. You know, because it gets your eyes off of yourself and your problems onto him. And that feeds your faith. No one can do this for you. But they are acts of your will that attract heaven. Think of that. Rejoicing, praise, giving thanks, praying. They're acts of your will that will attract heaven. I certainly want to see more God activity in my life. Do you? And the answer is found in these verses. I'm going to ask you to stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.